This is The Thirsty Developer, episode number 67 for the week of June 29th, 2009. Open spaces and unmeetings. We have an interview with Stephen List, better known as Doc. We talk with Doc about open spaces technology and applying those same principles to work. Let's listen to the interview. Hi, this is Larry, and I'm in downtown Milwaukee recording a podcast, and I've got my friend Doc List here. Doc, can you say hi to everybody?
Hi, everybody.
So I'm sure a lot of people have heard of you, or at least aware of your body of work. But why don't you
tell us? My fantasy.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're known for, Doc?
Well, last few years, I'm known for open space facilitation, as well as other kinds of facilitation, and then my work in the Agile community, doing coaching and helping people adopt Agile practices and stuff. But a lot of the people that listen to your podcast, those few who actually do know me, probably know me for open space.
So, exactly is an open space for the people who haven't experienced it firsthand?
The simplest way to describe it is an event at which there's no agenda until the participants show up and the participants create the agenda. They host the discussions, they moderate them themselves, and they basically have ownership of the event and decide what's going to happen and are solely responsible for the content and the outcomes.
And sometimes this is, and it may not be 100% exact, but sometimes it's called an unconference, right?
Right. Unconference is a term that's been adopted more by the technical community, and it's derived from open space. So open space technology, as it was originally coined by Harrison Owen, who's the guy who actually wrote the book,
right?
Open Space Technology, A User's Guide, and he created it with the intent of addressing issues, problems, challenges, whether it's community or business or anything else. So there would be a focus on what do we do about this. Unconferences tend not to have as much focus on outcomes.
Right, not necessarily a single purpose, like, you know, how do we solve this social
right.
problem?
Right.
There might be a theme to it, like, you know, we're going to talk about Drupal or PHP.
Or like the alt.net yeah. conferences, where they're coming together to talk about a variety of things that are in the universe of the .NET world. But they get together to have conversations about everything from technology to process. And some of the conversations have been fascinating because some people come expecting technology, and they're not.
Right.
They're not all about technology.
Well, they can go in a number of different ways depending on the participants.
Right. And that's the other thing is, unlike a traditional conference where the conference organizers decide what everybody's going to talk about, they invite or otherwise solicit submissions for presentations. The presenters decide what will be presented, and the attendees are attendees, not participants in most cases there.
Right.
And the shift with bar camps, demo camp, foo camp, which are all variations on unconference, is toward participant-driven events away from organizer-driven events with attendees who are mostly passive.
Right. And one of the things that is very obvious about an open space versus a traditional conference is, in a traditional conference, you have one person pointed towards everybody else,
right,
and everybody else is pointed towards that one person, with the variations of two presenters or whatever. In an open spaces area, pretty much everybody's facing each other for the most
generally,
part. Now, they could sit however they want. Right.
Right. But generally speaking, one of the ideas is that idea of open space, both physical and spiritual, if you will, or the idea that we're not constrained by the shape of the room, by the chairs. We can do it however we want to do it. Frequently, we do things in circles.
Right.
Harrison Owen really embraced the ideas that he learned in Africa and with American Indians, Native Americans, whatever the right term is these days, where they would, when they were dealing with community issues, they would sit in a circle and talk to each other, but all talk to each other, not, as you say, one person facing and
right.
presenting, delivering.
Now, I would encourage people who
haven't experienced one, that at most big conferences now, they're having an open spaces, I hate to use the term track, but they're having an open spaces area. A lot of times you'll see open spaces as part of another conference.
Right. And I have some challenges with that. So as you know, I worked with Microsoft on the PDC and MDCs and trying to create something. And what most people in the open space facilitation community will tell you is that you can't really do an open space in parallel with programmed EyesFront sessions. The reason being that one of the keys to the success of open space type events is that there's a community that comes together for the duration of the event.
Right.
And there is no sense of community when you have 80% of the attendees are attending the programmed sessions.
Or 98% of the attendees.
Or 98%.
Yeah.
But whatever the remaining percentage is, it's not the same group. Right? You'll get 5 people come in now and a different 5 people later and 20 people later, and there's no sense of community. And as a result, they're doing sort of the equivalent of birds of a feather sessions or just ad hoc conversations.
Right. So it's not the true open space.
Right. It doesn't accomplish quite what open space and unconferences are intended to accomplish. One of the challenges is if I pay to go to a conference where I'm expecting certain kinds of content, whether it's a vendor conference like Microsoft or the no fluff, just stuff conferences, I'm going there with the intent of receiving certain kinds of content. Why would I pay for that and then go and run my own conference effectively?
I guess the economics is a little different there, isn't it?
Right. So holding an open space conference or an unconference, even if people pay, they pay with the intent of coming so that they can create their own event.
Yeah.
Right? It's sort of like going to a Mongolian barbecue, right? You pay so that you can pick all the ingredients and put them together the way you want them.
Right, as opposed to a traditional restaurant where the chef decides. And,
right.
And you get to pick from a menu, but it's very tough to get things swapped out.
Right.
So there are some principles and one rule to open spaces, right?
That's true, yeah.
Do you want to run through those real quick?
Sure. There's four principles. The four principles are whoever comes is the right people.
Right.
They don't worry about grammar. That's just the way it's said. Whoever comes is the right people because they self-select. Whenever it starts is the right time. When people get together, when they're ready to start a conversation, great. Whatever happens is the only thing that could have. That's sort of very...
It's very zen.
Zen, yeah. But it's the truth. No two events will ever be the same because it's dependent on the people who are there and what they choose to talk about and which sessions they choose to go to. Whereas if I go to a programmed conference where presenters have presented material, I could go to it in 5 different cities, and I'll get the same stuff.
Well, you're also expected to start and end on time because...
Well, the open spaces do.
Okay.
So there's a misconception that open space is unstructured. Far from it. It's very structured. It's just not pre-planned in the sense of the content.
Okay.
So the fourth rule is when it's over, it's over. Or not fourth principle, is when it's over, it's over. And I have a corollary, which is when it's not over, it's not over. And the reason I say that is sometimes people are in a conversation in a session, and there's time allotted for each session, and there's a room allotted for each session.
Right.
Okay, when your time is up, you have to give up the room out of respect for whoever's got the room next. That doesn't mean the conversation has to end.
Yeah.
And at the end of the event, there's nothing that says that you can't continue the conversation in any fashion you want, which is one of the things I encourage, because open spaces create communities by virtue of their existence.
You've got that connection.
Right.
It started because we were in person, right? But
right.
We can continue it on afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, you see at the end of any conference what I call the summer camp syndrome. Right? We've been intensely together for a day, 2 days, 5 days, whatever it is. I don't want to leave yet. I'm attached to these people. Well, in open space, it's even more so, because you've been having conversation with these people, not just sitting in the same room,
right?
But having a conversation. So anyway, those were the four principles.
Let's talk about the law.
And there's one law.
This is my favorite
law. The law of 2 feet. And the law of 2 feet says if you find yourself in a situation in which you are neither learning nor contributing in the way you would like, get up and go somewhere else. So if you're in a session, a conversation, and it's not for you or you're just... You want to go into one of the others because there may be 4 going on at the same time and you want to be in all 4? Great. Go to all 4. sit in one for 5 or 10 minutes, sit in another for 5 or 10 minutes. The result is that people feel a lot more freedom both to contribute and to not contribute.
Right.
And if I want to go and sit and listen, that's okay. And if I want to go and be active and passionate, I can do that too. And I can go to another conversation. And then we talk about two roles that people take on.
Okay.
And one is the bumblebee. Bumblebees are those who follow the law of 2 feet, and they go from session to session to session, learning and sharing and taking from one session to another. So I may sit in one conversation, get up and walk into another, and share some of what I've gained in the first one, and so forth. So
is that disruptive at all?
Not usually.
Okay.
When I'm facilitating, I will wander into every session. So part of what I do is I just wander around, make sure everything's going okay. I don't facilitate discussions, but I go in and I poke my head in and I'll sit and I'll participate now and then as well. Never had a problem. And I've watched other people come and go. Everybody, what's interesting is everybody is respectful. Everybody okay. treats it with the same concern because they own it. So again, unlike a traditional conference, there is that sense of ownership. So Owen talks about responsibility and passion. And everybody has responsibility for every conversation, and everybody takes their passion with them.
Right.
As opposed to, I'll go sit in a room and I'll listen, and maybe I'll get excited, but so what? I don't get to say anything.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was bumblebees. Bumblebees flit from one to another, and then there's butterflies. Butterflies are kind of slower, and they're pretty, and they may go sit in a hall or out on the lawn or just relax somewhere, and other people may come and join them, and they may not. And butterflies are kind of peaceful generally.
Okay.
And that's okay also. Just go sit somewhere and relax. What happens at open spaces is conversations happen not just in the designated spaces and times, but also in the hallways and on the front lawn and in the lounge, wherever. There was a conversation at one of the Alt.net conferences, the first one in Seattle last year, and four people were standing in a hall and somebody else walked up with a video camera, and these four, it was Scott Hanselman and a few others,
right,
had this very intense technical conversation, and this other guy was videotaping the whole thing. It wasn't a planned session of any kind. And yet these four people wanted to talk about this, and because of the video camera, lots of other people got to benefit from it.
So were those four being butterflies at that point?
They were.
Okay.
Or one of them started out as a butterfly, and the others just lit on the same leaf.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I personally experienced, and this kind of it brings it full circle for me, because we did a code camp in Chicago last fall. And it was actually called Codapalooza. Uh-huh. And we were in the open spaces designated area. And we were having a really good conversation. And, of course, there was back channel going on. And back channel is just a fact of life, right? If you haven't embraced, Twitter or IRC or whatever, you're missing half of the conversation.
Yep.
There was a back channel Twitter conversation going on with the people that were in the room and some people that were outside. And they were saying, hey, come join us in the open spaces area. It sounds like you guys are having a good conversation. So they declared that area open tables, not open spaces. And really, they were actually participating in the open spaces as butterflies.
Right.
Just at the time, I didn't know what the term was. So
yeah.
It's fantastic that we even have a term for that.
Well, and what's happening more and more, you mentioned Twitter and so forth. What's happening more and more is that technology is becoming an integral part of these events. So I facilitated an event in Houston, and it was the most real-time, distributed, interactive event I'd been to so far, because not only were people tweeting, they were doing streaming video.
Right.
They were blogging almost real-time. People from all over the world were not participating real-time in the sense of being in the discussions, although that did happen, I believe, in Seattle this year as well, where they were actually...
People were tweeting in questions?
Not tweeting. They were using... It's one of the streaming video systems where you can also talk to the people
like
who are,
Ustream probably
I don't
those?
Remember which yeah. one it was, but and that's happening more and more, and it's interesting because in the open space facilitation community, and there is one, there is a somewhat regressive reactionary element that says no, we should be purists, none of this technology stuff,
right?
There's a whole other group which includes me, which says, whatever makes the conversation better, have give it greater reach, have more impact is good. And if that's Twitter, if you guys are talking to each other, and I saw it with people sitting across a circle from each other who are tweeting to each other.
Yeah, that's a little
while
weird.
Participating in the conversation. But it's really interesting because they'll collude, if you will. It's more like collaboration on bringing up a topic or sharing ideas. And they don't do cross-chatter, which is bad.
Okay.
Right? So they don't actually talk, which is rude.
Yeah.
And yet, at the same time, they're communicating, which is contributing to the overall conversation and value. That's exciting to me, seeing that kind of thing go on. And then the other thing is we've gone from physical proceedings. So an open space, one of the goals is to produce proceedings. Traditionally, this would be, you know, somebody would sit down at the end of the day or at a break, and they'd type something in, and somebody would print it out. These days, it's mostly wikis.
Okay, so it's real time.
And all of us have notebook computers. And so what's happening is either right after a session or at a lunch break or something, notes are going up in a wiki. And so that's one of the things that people can follow all over the world. It's like, oh, look, they just talked about this. I know now. I don't have to wait for something to be published.
Right.
It's real-time publishing.
You've reduced the amount of time between when something happens and when it's the record is made available.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's sort of instant print on demand. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
So now that we've got the good background for people,
yes.
I want to talk about a specific experience that I had that I want to share with you, and partially to get your advice on this and how we would do this in the future better.
Okay.
And I've got a blog post that I'll make sure I put up before the show comes up, so I'll point everybody in the show notes to.
Okay.
It's called Unmeetings.
Uh-huh.
And what our thought with this was we were doing planning for our next fiscal year and Microsoft, and I won't mention the names of the folks that were in the room just to protect their innocence.
Such as it is.
Yes. One of the gentlemen, actually I'll mention him, Brian Prince, who's my colleague that lives in Ohio, and I think you probably know him.
I think I've met him.
Yeah. Brian, I was struggling with the agenda. I was the guy that was in charge of, you know, hey, herd the cats. And the issue that we had is that we had one day to get this planning in, roughly 8 hours. You know, 9 to 5.
Yep.
And we had enough agenda for probably a week.
Uh-huh.
And prioritizing was a real issue. And
so you spent your first hour prioritizing?
No. Brian suggested beforehand, he saw that I was struggling with the agenda so much that he said, why don't you get a list of topics as potential candidates, and the first thing we'll do is we'll treat this in an unconference style is we as a group will decide what we're going to tackle.
Nice.
And what we're not going to tackle.
Uh-huh.
So we absolutely did that. I sent out some candidate topics, which is just to seed the thought. But I asked everybody, it's like, you know, hey, these aren't just, you know, this isn't the only list, right? We can
right.
still come up with stuff at the event. Anybody can contribute things. And so that was one of the things, is that we didn't have the planned formal agenda. We let the group decide, you know, which of those things we did. And we actually put Post-it notes up on a board and had people, you know, do tick marks.
Uh-huh.
And what was funny is that two of the topics that we covered, and we covered about 5 or 6 of them, as I recall, two of them were walk-ons from that day. So literally, the
yep.
agenda was determined by the people in the room.
Yep.
We also had a lot of whoever shows up as the right people.
Uh-huh.
Even though our boss, who was very supportive of this, by the way, Brian Moore, I'll put a link to his blog in the show notes. He'll love that.
Okay.
He listens to the show, so I'm totally kissing up.
Good. Hey, Brian.
He was very supportive of this, right? And he said, that, you know, hey, these people are going to be representing each district. But we also said, hey, we're missing some people, and we invited other people into the conversation up to and including right before the event. So we found somebody wandering in the halls and said, hey, come join us. You're available. You know, which was fantastic, so we were a little fluid there.
Yeah.
A couple of things, though, that weren't – well, no, there was one more thing that was very – you'd be very proud of us from an unconference standpoint is that we had put time boxes on everything,
uh-huh.
but we got to the end of one conversation. It was not over. We kept going. We said, all right, we're going to rearrange the other things. We're going to prioritize those kind of things. Yes, absolutely
yeah.
by consensus.
Yep.
Actually, I left the room and came back, and they had consensed that we were going to keep going on this. It wasn't a mandate from the boss who was in the room.
Well, or any one person.
Exactly.
That's wonderful. I am proud of you.
It was there was some definite things. Now, there were some things that didn't apply that kind of violated. And one is, and we know he's listening now, right? The boss is still the boss.
Uh-huh.
Right? And he had specific things that he had to get out of planning. So he did kind of mandate a couple of the topics for us. Didn't mandate all of them, right, but said, hey, we have to get these two things covered. And I would say that it was pretty much, if it had been up for a complete vote, those probably would have been voted for anyway. It was topics that people were, they weren't the most exciting topics, but I think everybody would have said yes. Like our budget allocation, for instance.
Yes.
Right? Everybody wants a slice of their buck, you know, budget, so that was part of it.
Yep.
The law of 2 feet, though, that's the one I really want to talk about, because we kind of struggled with this. If you had been in the room, or if I came to you and said, Doc, we're thinking about this, how would you adapt the law of 2 feet to a typical business meeting?
Was one group all talking to each other all day, not breaking into separate conversations.
Right.
So part of the law of 2 feet includes, if you have to get up and go have a bio break, go ahead. If you want to go take a walk, go ahead.
We allowed that, by the way.
Good.
That was part of the rules.
So within that context, law of 2 feet simply says if you need to go somewhere else or you want to go somewhere else, go somewhere else. Your responsibility is up to you as to the outcomes we generate here. So I think you did fine. I think that for me, the law of 2 feet says if I have multiple sessions, it seems to say you can go from one session to another.
Or you could go to be a butterfly.
You
right?
can go be a butterfly. You can go take a break. Go take a nap. You know, when I'm facilitating, you know, sometimes I go take a rest because I'm worn out.
Well, and that's what we told people. It's like we had scheduled no breaks during the day because typically
there's a good thing about scheduling breaks. Having a planned time for people to take refreshment, to do some stuff, there will always be people, no matter how much they love open space, who don't want to miss anything.
Okay.
And so the value of breaks is here's a time where you can do it without missing anything. Because when you create an open space type environment, it's exciting.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, imagine you and I are having this intense conversation, and I don't want to stop, right? And I'm doing the dance, and I don't want to stop because the conversation's too exciting.
Or maybe I'm doing the dance. What you're saying is very exciting, and I don't want to leave, right, because I'll miss something.
That's right. And that's the point. And so the value of breaks is it gives people an opportunity to do things they want to do without missing.
Okay. What we found is, and we've done these planning meetings, you know, before in the past, break time was almost everybody looking at their email. You know, it was like a very non-productive time.
Right.
We did actually schedule time at lunch to decompress.
Now, did you allow people to have their computers open during your open spacey thing?
Ooh, this is kind of interesting. Because we told people to focus. Don't do too much on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. If you're taking notes, you're doing the wiki style, you know, capturing.
Right.
The conversation is definitely allowed. If you need to look up something, definitely allowed. Don't be working on other things is what we said.
So I guess my view is whoever comes is the right people, and that includes in the moment. So if you leave mentally, great, you're not participating, you're not contributing, you don't own the results of whatever you're not participating in. I think that if the conversation's exciting and it engages everybody, then they won't want to look at their computer. If they want to look at their computer, they're not engaged. Okay, let them go. So the question is, do you have, you know, equivalently a majority, a quorum, whatever you need to make the decisions you need to make? You shouldn't have to worry about everybody pay attention because they should want to. And that's what happens when you get to choose the topics. Now, not everybody chooses every topic. Not every topic is interesting to everybody. What's the difference between somebody working on their computer and leaving the room?
I would say it's the almost perception, right? Because when you're stealthily trying to read your email,
but it shouldn't be stealthy, right? That's my point. Is if you relieve that pressure and say it's okay, you want to open your computer, that's fine, as long as you're not distracting the people around you, because that's disrespectful.
Okay.
But if you want to open your computer and do your email, you know, make sure you're sitting where your keyboarding won't bother people. Great, go ahead, because this is not about me as the organizer, me as the facilitator, me as the one who called this session. This is about us. And if you're not feeling like part of us at any given moment, that's fine.
So maybe we were a little draconian with that, sounds like.
And
it,
that's
right?
Okay. You know, okay. You learn from it, right? But the getting back to the Brian mandating a couple of topics, one of the ways to address that is to say, we'll do the required stuff first. So we'll have sort of traditional discussion, meeting, whatever. We'll hold these sessions first, then we'll open it up. And now there's no conflict. And at the same time, you give everybody a chance to then own the rest of the event.
And what we did was we covered one of those first,
uh-huh.
and then one right after lunch. So to, you know,
so everybody knew what was coming.
Right.
Yeah, and that works.
And the topics weren't, you know, as exciting as, you know, things that people were, you know, were passionate about. So we separated them so it wasn't like, oh, here's 2 hours of of topics that we don't find that interesting,
yeah.
you know.
Although putting one right after lunch is can be deadly.
So, yeah, although we actually got the nice sugar boost, you know, so we were doing okay with that.
Yeah, you get the sugar boost for about 20 or 30 minutes, and then you get the blood rushing to your stomach to digest and leaving your brain.
So I would say it sounds like we did okay.
I think you did
just,
very well.
Just absolutely just experimenting with this.
I'm impressed that you guys chose to do this in the way you did it. Yeah, I'd love to see more people do that.
Well, definitely, I'll send you the blog post as soon as it's up, and you can, you know, critique on that, and because I'm sure I missed a couple of things here. I've got some great photos, you know, from there also that, you know, I've got that really helped tell the story of the day. We all thought it was very successful.
Well, that's the definition, right?
At the end of the day. And one of the things that I did that was kind of interesting was that I asked everybody, and this isn't in the conference/open spaces handbook, but I asked everybody at the beginning of the day to, on a post-it note, write down what they thought would be a positive outcome at the end of the day.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end of the day, they held theirs up and said whether they mattered or not.
One of the beauties about open space, I think that's very clever, by the way. I think it's a great thing to do. It's like doing a safety check.
Yeah.
Right? So we do that in retrospectives, right? Do a safety check at the beginning. I'll do one if I'm doing a long event, a long retrospective. I might do another one in the middle. To me, that's kind of what you did, right? It makes sense to say, let's see what we were looking for, and let's see if we got it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I think it's good. The thing about open space is that it's non-prescriptive in most ways. It's structured, and I'll say that again. It is structured.
Right.
At least purest open space, right? There's an agenda that you create. There's time allocated. There's space allocated. The facilitator's role is to hold time and hold space. That's what we do.
Yep.
But beyond that, it's whatever works for you, and you guys did that beautifully. You took this basic idea, and you made it something that worked for what you wanted to accomplish. I think that's fabulous.
Well, that's cool.
I want to say that I came up with it.
All right. actually, there could be a whole, sub-meme of open spaces applied to the typical corporate environment.
I think there is. In fact, there are a lot of open space facilitators who work almost exclusively with corporate environments. So I'm trying to introduce that into the projects I do as part of kicking off a project. Let's sit down and make sure we all understand what we're doing here.
You know, and at a future date, we'd like to have you back on the show where you can talk about project structure and some of the things you do with Agile. But I know that we've got to wrap things up now. Doc, thanks for being on The Thirsty Developer.
My great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to The Thirsty Developer. For more information, visit thirstydeveloper.com. We'll see you next time.